Oh, good.
Give Barbara time to get up the steps.
Our reading today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 23. The nature of true apostleship. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of people's hearts. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, "Do not go beyond what is written." Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have begun to reign, and that without us. How I wish that you really had begun to reign so that we also might reign with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags, we are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline? Or shall I come in love and with a gentle spirit? Amen.
Thank you, Barbara.
I'll pray for Nick as he comes up. Lord, thank you for Nick, and thank you for all that he's prepared for us today. I just pray that you would open up these words to us, and that you would speak through him to our hearts this morning. Amen.
Oh, we don't need a minister, they say. A minister will just get in the way. We have a vision, a plan, God's, of course. We don't need a minister to take us now off course. We're building up church numbers day by day. No, we don't need a minister, they say. Oh, we don't need a minister, they say. A minister's a big expense to pay. When times are tough, the cost of living high, we can manage as we are. We'll get by. No need for manses, wages, or sick pay. No, we don't need a minister, they say. My dearest Sophonies, what should we write to these Corinthians to put them right, to dispossess them of their strange ideas that they have no need for overseers, to counsel and to help them to understand they're lost without a parent's guiding hand. They seem puffed up like some mad, pompous king, believing that they now have everything. They all are now rich beyond compare, because God has honored everybody there. Some can't see what's right before their eyes, and some can't see the wood for the arboretum. Come, Brother Sothenes, and help me pen a suitable reply, some sound doctrine to testify and teach the Spirit's will. Fellow servant of Christ, take up your quill, and thereupon your holy parchment score God's mysteries revealed to us, and more. I fear that our epistle may require a drop of irony to quench our ire at Corinth's disregard for costly lessons taught, at their neglect of souls so dearly bought, at their ignoring my 18-month stay. Ha! We don't need a minister, they say. But first, before I jog their memory of how we strived for them, both you and me, let us remind ourselves and duly heed Christ's warnings on judging another's deed. The measure you use will be measured to you. He said on the mount, so wise and so true. So, in speaking wisdom to their folly, let's hold on to Christ's own humility. The light of the world, whom John spoke of, comes not with a rod, but gently with love. So must it be here now with our reply. Christ's light to bring truth and expose the dark lie. So where now to begin? Where best to start? An appeal to the head or to the heart? Should we remind them what is the true cost to minister to the flock and save the lost? Should we remind them of the cost you had to bear as chief ruler of the synagogue there? Of how a mob beat you and tried to throw you to the Roman governor, Gallio? Of how you went through agonizing pain? Sorry to bring it all up again. You showed the true cost of apostleship. So should we now chastise or bite our lip? When they will boast in that arrogant way, nah, we don't need a minister, they say. Should we unleash a bitter, long tirade and thus retell the sacrifice we made? Or is there yet another better way? A way beyond words, with true power to sway. We know these folks. For many months we toiled and lived together, and together foiled attacks by some against the Corinth Church. So how can we now idly watch them lurch into the making of a big mistake? No, that would be too much for us to take. We cannot bear to let to see them or let them slip away with "we don't need a minister," they say. So we must go to them and be with them. Yes, we must show to them and see with them that though our faithfulness is great, it's not too great to imitate. Yet here at Ephesus, our work's not done. So let us send instead our dearest son, Timothy, who though young in years, will vanquish all of our parental fears. And by God's grace, let youth reach hearts and minds, the childlike parts of us that God's love finds. A lot's been said to each Corinthian, but now the time for speaking has passed on. But God's kingdom is not a matter of talk, but power. Now it's time to walk the walk. To send not just a letter to rouse and stir, but also Tim, their brand new minister. A youthful minister with youthful eyes and heart shall see and act, pastor, baptize, regarded as they ought to regard us, servants of Christ, and those whom Christ entrusts with mysteries which God has now revealed, by Holy Spirit led and blessed and filled. This love letter with Timothy we send. It requires yet my own hand for its end. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen. To Corinth go from Ephesus. May the church take a different stance one day. We don't need a minister like us, they'll say.